Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sal Capaccio joins me now on the Western Hotline. Sorry about the modification to our schedule, Sal. Hopefully not too hard on your schedule this morning.
No, it's good. So I'm listening to your open, and so Jeremy, he gives you a little grief
about your
Twitter persona during games, right?
Yeah. Big time.
I mean, it's nothing really compared to your, I mean, you think you're a food expert, number one, so your Twitter persona is on that level. And then I think you become unbearable when Notre Dame is good, to be quite honest with you.
What do you mean?
Because, listen, here's the problem I have. I want the world to know. Nate rips on Yankee fans. He hates them. But yet he likes the college football equivalent to the Yankees.
Not
exactly
close.
The same way as Yankee fans are when they're good.
Alabama is the college football equivalent. Not Notre Dame.
No, not really. The traditional, like, Alabama's great.
Tradition Yankees.
Wait. Other than, look, I'll say the Yankees haven't won in a while. Alabama has won a lot lately. But traditional, the teams that, like, if you just said, like, what are the teams that people, like, the traditional, yeah, I've been rooting for this team since 1935 and they're amazing and they're always good. It's the Yankees. It's the Montreal Canadiens. It's either the Celtics or Lakers, I guess, but probably the Celtics. Lakers moved from Minneapolis. And then you have Notre Dame football, Duke basketball and Notre Dame football.
Sounds
they're
correct.
All in one. You cannot rip on another one if you like one of those.
Sales correct.
I disagree where you guys come from. I think you guys are coming from the wrong place on Notre Dame football. I think because it's regularly available to the nation that you guys are putting that like on their that like that's their fault that they're readily available to people, and they have been for a very long time.
Do you think they're not trying? Do you think that the TV networks are going to Notre Dame and Notre Dame is saying, like, hey, wait a minute, we don't want this money. This is a little too much for us.
Listen, here's my thing is the New York Yankees have won whatever 20 is it 27 times?
Yes,
it is. Notre Dame has won the national championship how many times?
Four. Well, the last time they did it was 1988.
Right, I wasn't even alive. And I am not the person, Sal. You will never find me going around saying, hey, what about my 88 national championship? Just saying. I don't do that. Anyways.
Listen, I'm just telling you that it's funny to me. Like, oh, these Yankee fans. Like, you're a Notre Dame fan. By the way, I don't hate Notre Dame. I know a lot of people hate the Yankees. It's kind of like Notre Dame is one of those.
A lot of people hate
Notre
Dame.
They're like a love them or hate them.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not a hate Notre Dame guy. But I suddenly, when they become good, you hear from every Notre Dame fan that comes out of the woodwork that you haven't heard from in the 12 to 20 years that they've been awful.
Well, I'll tell you this, is I have been a diehard fan through that awfulness. Like, my main fandom came in, like, the Ty Willingham into the Charlie Weiss era, which is arguably...
I love Ty Willingham, by the way.
Me too.
I did love Ty. I thought that he was going to be so good for them.
And I'm trying to think of the quarterback who would have been there right before Brady Quinn. But Brady Quinn was my, like, that's
Jimmy
my
Clausen?
Era.
No,
Clausen was after. I can't remember who was before Brady Quinn.
I'll tell you exactly who it was, because I have to... here we go. So who was the right before Brady Quinn? When was Brady Quinn?
Brady Quinn would have been.
I just watched one the other day. It was
2009, 8? No, earlier than that.
Way earlier than that.
Was it Rick Meyer? No.
No. Oh, man.
I just watched yesterday. They had on Notre Dame, North Carolina, like a replay. Was it Jimmy? It wasn't Jimmy Clausen, you said?
No, it definitely wasn't Clausen. Clausen was after.
Who was?
We got to find this out.
Not Holiday. Carlisle Holiday. I'm trying to think. Here's Tyrone Willingham. Okay, in 04, 03, 02, 03, and 04 is when Tyrone Willingham.
It was Holiday and Pat Dillingham.
Okay. Oh, Pat Dillingham.
Jeez.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, no. Brady Quinn, 04, 05, 06 seasons. That would have been the prime of my Notre Dame fandom. So it's right okay. after,
I'm just pointing out the hypocrisy on this program.
Yeah, I think that you're reaching a little bit, but I get where you're coming from. I understand.
I just half expect you to tell me how great you've loved Duke basketball. For the
I hate Duke.
Years.
Like I hate Duke. I like Notre Dame. All those other teams I hate. And especially hate the Yankees. And by the way, I just tweeted out, Kirk Herbstreit said that Notre Dame should be the number one team in the nation. I disagree with that.
Yes.
I don't think they should be.
I heard him. I was watching when he said that. They're good. They are
they're
very
good.
They are very well balanced.
They might
well
be
coached.
The most complete team, but I don't think they're the best team.
Probably right. I mean, what I was thinking about today, Nate, was this is good conversation because, you know, we can talk about sports, not just the Bills. But so what I was thinking about today was, Matt, if this was like back in the day before we had like actual playoffs and things like that, and they just voted on it, and whatever bowl game you're in, like, I mean, Notre Dame would be, they would have a legit shot here to win the national title because
yeah.
they're just going to get votes, and it's going to be based on the AP vote at the end. I think there is a playoff this year, right? They're
yep,
still
there's
doing
gonna
that
be a playoff,
or whatever.
Yep.
Yeah, but I think if you go back to before, like pre-playoff and things like that, which was 97, maybe the first year, you know, T. Martin wins it for Tennessee. I think that was the first one they really did like that. You go back to then, like if we're at that system, Notre Dame probably wins it this year.
I wonder, Sal, would you agree that if Notre Dame loses to Clemson with Trevor Lawrence, that they do still belong in the top four in the ACC championship game?
If they lose to Trevor, I think it would have to be
it has to be a
they
close
lost.
Game,
if they
right?
Still
it has to be a close game.
Had been really competitive. You know, it would have to be competitive. If Trevor Lawrence plays, do they beat Clemson?
I don't.
As a Notre Dame fan,
I think it'll be close because listen, that freshman. I mean, how many plays did he leave on the field? Like not many.
It would have been close.
I think it'll be a close game. I do think that Clemson ends up probably beating Notre Dame in the ACC championship game. But if they do beat Clemson, Clemson's not in the top four. Because they'll have two losses. No way they're in the top four.
It's such a different year. It's so
weird.
I mean, I don't know. Ohio State might not even play enough games like to get in there.
To get there, yeah, they may not. Like but that. They're still they'll be in the top four at the end of the year, which is all that matters. And you know, part of this conversation, Sal, is just how unique this college football season has been. It's been fun for a guy who really like when Notre Dame isn't good, I get kind of sour on the college football season as a whole. It's been fun this year because Notre Dame's good, Michigan's really bad, Penn State's really bad. Like teams that I like to root against are all pretty bad this year. So it's been kind of a fun. It's been a fun little college football season.
Well, I wish. I know you don't like Syracuse.
I don't mind
very
Syracuse
much at all.
I don't mind them,
but that's because they're not good. If they were good, you would hate them.
Yeah, I mean, the year that they beat Notre Dame, that hurt a lot.
Oh,
but I'm a Syracuse basketball fan.
I think they
fan,
play
though.
Right. They play in a couple weeks, don't they?
They do. Yeah, they play next week. Yeah, next week. So
next week, there you go.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, it's been a tough year for Syracuse. There's no doubt about that.
Oh man, if Syracuse beats Notre Dame, I will be unbearable talking to you.
Yeah, so you know. I probably won't have you on.
After all this?
Yeah, I probably won't have
you
on.
You won't have to worry about it. You won't have to worry.
Yeah, I don't think so. I would probably avoid having you on at all costs. Sal, you know, obviously it's been a fun little getaway, I think. For me, I know it has. I'm sure it has been for you having this bye week. I think it's a very nicely timed bye week. It's right before snow's falling, right during the holiday era season part of this month. So it was a nice week off last week. But it's business time. And I think, you know, part of the where I wanted to start with you is where you expect this team off of a bye week. Under Sean McDermott, they are 3-0 after the bye week. This tends to be the week that shows you what you have or the value of coaching that you have on your team. This is the kind of game where I think that if one thing, I would think the Bills are going to be prepared and ready to play this game. I don't suspect there any Thanksgiving hangover.
Yeah, I remember last year, though, if you remember last year. In fact, the 2 years. I'm going to go back to 2017. They come out of the bye week. Now we all know.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
They weren't a really super talented team in 2017, right? They come out of the bye week. They get the Bucks at home. They're trailing late. They come back. They win 30-27. Like, it was a close game. Last year, I'm going to look at what did they do in 2018? I can't imagine. You said they won, but, oh, that was Jacksonville. They
Jacksonville,
won by three
yep.
in that game. 24-21, they beat the Jaguars. That was the game, the Robert Foster catch, the great
yep.
throw from Josh, right, in that game. And then last year, they get a winless Dolphins team here in Buffalo, week seven. They win that game 31-21 on a late comeback in the fourth quarter. So as much as they're 3-0 under McDermott, they've
it's
played
like
close
blowouts.
Games coming out of the
right.
bye. Right, they're not. They're, it seems like they need to get ramped up a little bit. In all those games, they might have even had to come back a little bit. But you're right. I think that this is a week that you can get healthy. You can figure some things out. I think that's what the Bills have concentrated on this week. McDermott said they did a deep dive into a lot of areas, including the run game, things like that. So, you know, we'll see what they have. But I think more than anything, now John Brown is a significant injury. Obviously, we've seen how much he impacts the offense. But more than anything, this team that's been banged up is relatively healthy now, aside from losing Cody Ford, who's been in and out of the lineup anyway, and John Brown, who we'll see on his status going forward. But this is a healthy group compared to what we've really seen over the last month or so.
Sal Capaccio here in the Western Hotline with me, Aaron, Sports Talk Saturday. Sal, you know, you mentioned Cody Ford. Obviously, that's kind of where we should go next. But maybe more importantly on the offensive line, losing Cody Ford, certainly, you know, him being in and out of the lineup, I wouldn't say it, like, changes everything they've been doing or what they want to do. But I do think, you know, he probably fits in somewhere in your best five when he is healthy. What does this do for you moving forward? I mean, we know they got rid of Quentin Spain, so they lose two guards. Does this team, in your opinion, have the depth behind those two players to overcome the injury to Ford this year and getting rid of Quentin Spain?
Yeah, you know, I don't think Cody Ford's played particularly well. I think this was his best spot, though, left guard, where they've put him. And I think he was growing into the role. But let's be honest. I mean, John Feliciano being back, I'm not so sure. Are we going to really say that Cody Ford is better than either Ike Butker or Brian Winters the way they've played? Because I know Brian Winters struggled early on. I thought he's played a lot better as of late. I think Ike Butker's actually played pretty well, and I'm not so sure. Now, long term, I think this hurts Cody Ford because you want to see him continue to develop. I'd love to see Cody Ford still playing. And sure, just looking at the names, I think all of us would probably maybe put Cody Ford in the top five. Like, okay, he belongs on that list. But the proof is in the pudding. I mean, he hasn't played all that great, and I think they're still figuring out, you know, what to do with him, where to put him. I thought this was his best spot. But overall, this hurts your depth. There's no doubt about it. But they have a lot of position flexibility on that offensive line. You know, a guy like even Ryan Bates, who can play all five positions, like if you're in a pinch, you can put him anywhere you really need
right.
to. So I'm not diminishing losing Cody Ford. It stinks for him, and you'd love to have him available. I don't think there's like this huge drop-off on the offensive line. The guy really, he's missed three games because of injury anyway, and I'm not so sure he was the next best starting guard after John Feliciano at this point anyway.
Yeah, and I think this leads us to our I'm not going to ask you to I'm not going to ask you to go into this whole Mitchell Morse thing on what you think compared to what the coach says. To me, as long as he's playing.
Well, I do think, I will tell you this. I do think there is truth, and we know this. It truly was a football decision. I am convinced of that. If this had anything to do with a concussion, he would not have even been active in Arizona.
I agree with that.
People have to realize that. Like, the Bills aren't going to put him in harm's way. They're not just going to dress him to dress him. That's not going to happen. You know, if there was an issue with the concussion, he wouldn't have even dressed against Arizona. This was a football/coach's decision, and Sean McDermott is being honest when he says that, and nobody should doubt that, because this is the type of injury where he's not going to take a chance and just dress a guy if he feels right. It's concussion-related. What I think happened here was, and I will tell you, what I think happened here is, I think they really believe that John Feliciano might be a better solution at center, a little bit of an upgrade, let's say, than Mitch Morse, and especially maybe long term. Let's remember, Morse is on a really heavy contract. Feliciano's a free agent at the end of the year. This could have also been about, let's see what we have going forward for a couple of weeks with Feliciano. Maybe we need to reward him, give him a contract extension, pay him less than Morse. He becomes our new center. In the meantime, maybe they feel that's an upgrade. The problem is Morse doesn't have position flexibility like Feliciano has.
Right.
So to me, it was always still better to have Morse at center and Feliciano at guard, because you're still getting two of the best three on the interior versus only Feliciano at center and then whoever else at guard.
It is worth to note, Sal, that they could end up saving just under $5 million if they decided to move on from Mitchell Morse next year.
They'd still have some pretty significant dead cap,
they would,
but you're right.
$7 million, almost $8 million over the next 2 years, split up into $5.5 million next year and then $2.75 million in 2022. I know it's maybe a little premature to talk about that, but listen, I mean, all we can do is read the tea leaves. And in this particular instance, we're talking about a player that I think we'd all agree they're better with in the lineup. The question becomes is, if they had better flexibility at guard, would he be in the lineup? And I guess that's the question now, is if Quentin Spain was still on the roster, is John Feliciano the starting center? And that's a fair question to ask based on the moves that have been made over the last couple of weeks. But I don't think we need to look greatly in depth into this. I just think it's a unique move that the team decided to make. I wonder if in that matchup you just coming off of injury, if it makes sense just to play Morse, I don't know. But they made the move that they made. I bought what Coach Sean McDermott said. I think a lot of people made more from what he said. For the most part, I know that he doesn't say a lot, but when he does say things, he tends to just kind of tell it the way that it is, right?
Yeah, I think so. If you want to talk about Quentin Spain, like if he's on the roster, there's a reason he's not, though.
And that's right.
To remember,
that's right.
Like he wasn't playing well enough, and then obviously something was amiss where they just felt it was better to move on from him. I mean, it's funny when people say, like, well, this is what they get for cutting Quentin Spain. Well, what, you don't think they would have loved to have kept Quentin Spain if they could have made that work between the two? There was obviously something going on there. Look at Quentin Spain's own tweets, right? I mean, it was just an untenable situation. So, and he wasn't playing that great. So I don't think nobody should be looking back. And if you want to blame, like, the Quentin Spain situation, I think there's both sides here. You could say, yeah, the Bills could have kept him. Maybe the Bills could have done more to work it out. I don't know. But Quentin Spain could have also done more to work it out, right? And obviously that's also on him. So, you know, they're in a situation now. But, yeah, I just think that, you know, going forward, and we know Mitch Morse is going to start tomorrow, and I think they're a better offensive line with Mitch Morse at center and John Feliciano at guard. I'm wondering who the other guard is, if it's Winters
I
or
do
Butker,
too.
Though.
Yeah, I feel like it should be Butker, but we'll see. I mean, we'll see what ends up happening, because I think I like John Feliciano in my best five at right guard. Sal, before I let you go, last thing. We are hopefully, barring any last-minute injuries, going to see the full extent of this cornerback room for the first time, hopefully for a full game. What do you expect to see rotation-wise in this game? And the only reason I ask that is you're facing a team with two really good receivers, I think, and a really good young tight end, and maybe Austin Eckler is playing in this football game. Whether or not you have Austin Eckler, Mike Williams and Keenan Allen are a really nice 1-2 punch, and I think Keenan Allen might be one of the most, if not the most, underrated wide receiver in football.
He's amazing. I think, you know, we'll see how they treat him tomorrow. I don't know if you'll have Tre'Davious White shadow him a lot. He can play all over the field. But one thing about Keenan Allen, like, he's not a guy that necessarily runs away from you, right? I mean, you know, he can, every once in a while, he can get loose. I think the Bills would be perfectly content with letting him catch 10 to 15 balls underneath and just tackling him every time, right? And I mean, I say that, you of course want to hold him to nothing, but you get my point, right? It's not, as long as he's not making big plays and things like that. And that's been the Bills' philosophy. So, you know, if that's how they're going to use Keenan Allen, that's fine. And the Bills love to just basically keep everything in front of them. And as far as the rest is concerned, whoever it is, I have to think that Levi Wallace would still start. I mean, Nate, we're still talking about Josh Norman really having very few reps this year. Like, he has not played much. You know, he had to play. He came into that Raiders game. He started in that Titans game. But he really hasn't played much. And I think Levi Wallace has still been better than Josh Norman when he's been out there. It is interesting. Today at 4 o'clock is an interesting deadline. It's 4.5 hours from now. Pay attention. I'll have a note on it. I'm sure people will read it wherever it is. Do the Bills elevate Dane Jackson? You know, do they elevate? They can't elevate Dane Jackson. Excuse me. They could still elevate Darryl Worley. Dane Jackson's out of elevations. They do have an open roster spot. I do not expect them to sign Dane Jackson to the active roster because I think that roster spot goes to Matt Milano next week. But you do have one that's been created by Cody Ford now if they put him on IR today. You could do that by 4 o'clock. The other thing to watch out for is Austin Eckler. Is he taken off IR by 4 p.m. today? If he is, that means he's playing tomorrow against the Bills. If not, he won't. So, yeah, you're looking at Tre'Davious White, obviously, Taron Johnson in the slot, Levi Wallace and Josh Norman. We'll see. And then Cam Lewis, Dane Jackson, Cam's on IR. I think next week's even more, they get even more healthy next week, and we'll see, you know, what they wind up doing with Dane Jackson, who I know a lot of people want on the active roster, and that's great. But, you know, I think the Bills right now are, they like the guys they have, and they still like having this guy as a development and, you know, playing when he needs to play.
You know, I was just going to say, I think all of us look at the position at the very top at being maybe a little lean, but overall, I think for a developmental standpoint, Sal, I think they feel they're probably in a pretty good spot with Dane Jackson and Cam Lewis, some of these younger guys that they've brought along slowly. But with Dane Jackson, to everyone's point, he has looked good when he's been in the game, and I think that's probably what people are thinking. Hey, you know, can you get this over a course of games or not just a couple of series to series type of things? But yeah, I think they like what they've got.
And I also want to point out, you know, next year you're figuring Josh Norman most likely won't be here next year, right? He's on this one-year deal. Yeah. He hasn't really particularly played well, hasn't been that available. You know, there are going to be spots open for guys to fight to be on the roster, you know, full-time. And we'll see. You know, again, I know fans want to see them sign Dane Jackson. They're worried about him signing with another team. I wouldn't worry about that. I think if another team comes calling, his agent would let the Bills know, and they'd probably work something out where they'd put him on the active roster. They'd sign him. So I wouldn't worry too much about that. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they use their corners tomorrow. I'm interested in how the Chargers defend the Bills tomorrow. The Chargers, I know you got a guest here. So let me say, it's really interesting. You know, they're missing a starting defensive end, a backup defensive end, and they're in a corner. And they already blitz less than any team in the league, Nate. So I think tomorrow you could see them playing maybe a lot of nickel and dime, just like the Patriots did against the Bills.
Yeah, I don't love that. I don't love that matchup for opposing defenses against Josh Allen. Let's put it that way. Sal, thanks for the time, my friend. As always, enjoy your Saturday, and we will be talking first thing tomorrow during pregame.
Okay, thanks, man. Have a good weekend.
Awesome, Sal. You too.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us, and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.